So today's first reading has that very well-known, that very famous incident in which Moses, who the Bible tells us at this time is in his 70s, he's been a shepherd, comes across a strange phenomenon. He comes across a bush that is burning, but is not being consumed by the fire. So that gets his attention. But that isn't the main focus, is it? Because he soon discovers a voice coming from that bush, which in a little while he's able to discern and to figure out is God's voice speaking to him. In the midst of this conversation, in the midst of this dialogue, it's almost as if Moses says to the voice, "Now, who exactly are you? You're telling me to do things that are going to impact other people." Remember, God is telling him he's got to go back to Egypt and lead the enslaved Israelites out of Egypt. And they're going to want to know who's giving me these orders. And of course, God responds by saying a couple of things, but he says, "I am who am." Now that phrase has fascinated Bible people for a long time. And my Hebrew is long lost, but it really doesn't matter because people who know it a lot better than I do still come up with a variety of interpretations or translations for what exactly that was supposed to mean. I am who am. I like to think of it as almost as if God's saying, "Well, I'm the one. There isn't another. I'm the one. I am who am. Now go do what I tell you." Who's God? Well, in Christianity, based on our Hebrew roots, at different times we've tried to list God's characteristics. Fancy word for that is attributes. So we can say, derive somewhat from just our mental powers, from natural reason, and sometimes develop from revelation, the way that God has revealed himself, for example, in Scripture, both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. We can say a lot of things about God. He's infinite, he's eternal, he's omnipotent, he's all-powerful, he's present everywhere. He's all-knowing. And we can say things like he's kind and merciful. He's just. He's forgiving. A lot of things we could say about God. But you know, when push comes to shove, and I'm just sharing personally here with you, the titles don't do much for me, especially the ones that are kind of philosophical. And maybe I'm just being very much a Catholic. You know, this is our favorite time of the year because we Catholics like to do things, and Lent's a great season for doing things. It kind of shows that we're Catholics, whatever it is. Well, I think God likes to do things as well. And if you want to figure out who God is, take a look and see what he does. Who is this I am who am? What does he do? And I want to suggest today, just real briefly, three things about what God does in relationship to us. All right? In relationship to us. And these are rooted to no small degree on the Old Testament, but also very much based on the life of Jesus. And the way I remember these things are C, D, and E. Just giving you kind of a preacher's little trick here. All right, C, D, and E. The three things that I think God does in relationship to us that are really important are he challenges us, he defends us, and he encourages us. That's what God does. Think about defend. God defends us against our enemies. Who are our enemies? Well, they're usually not the people down the street, and they're not the, when I was growing up, they're not the Russians or something. But God defends us. God defends us against his enemies, which are sin and death. He defends us against them so much that he was willing to die to do so. But on a more personal level, he defends us to some degree, not just against things outside of ourselves, but he defends us against things within ourselves. What do I mean by that? He defends us against our fears. Don't be afraid. Don't give in to your enemies your fears. Or he defends us against a certain narrowness of vision. Don't think just about yourself. All of creation is mine. All human beings are your brothers and sisters. Don't be conquered by a narrowness of thinking. Don't be conquered by a narrowness of challenge. I'll defend you against that. Just listen to me. I'll keep you from falling into sin. I will keep you from submitting to death, eternal death. And I will protect you from a way of living your life in a way that it simply comes in and is a matter of yourself. I'm going to protect you from all of that. He defends us. And he challenges us. So many of you have been parents. Some of us have been teachers. How do you challenge your kids? How do you challenge your students? Well, challenge does not mean attack. The best way you challenge someone is to remind them who they are called to be. As a kid, as a human being, as a student. The best way to challenge someone is simply to say, yeah, but you know, you're more than that, or this is what you are. You're a spouse, you're a parent, you're a learner. God keeps reminding us, challenging us by saying, this is who you are. And a main way in which he does that, a main way, is through telling stories, parables. He says, you are, be challenged by this now, you are to be like the Good Samaritan. You are to be like the wise person who is prepared for the coming of the Lord. You are to be, you are to be, you are to be, and in fact, with my grace, that is who you are. That's how he challenges us. Not by belittling us, not by punishing us, not by attacking us, but by reminding us of the dignity that we have because we are his. Reminding us of the dignity we have because we are his. And I think the third thing he does is encourage us. How many of us in life don't need to hear, it's okay, hang in there, it's going to be all right. Don't quit. Don't quit. He literally gives us courage. And what's the main way in which he does that? He does it by all the many ways in which he says, I love you. No matter what the circumstances of your life are, I love you. For us Catholics, that very much is connected with sacraments, isn't it? If you think about it, I may have said this before, not that anybody remembers, but, you know, if you think about it, each of the sacraments is just a different way in which God says, I love you. I love you when you're beginning your life. I love you as you're moving into adulthood and need special graces and helps. I love you so much that I want to feed you every time you gather as a community in the Eucharist. I love you so much that I want to be with you in major moments of commitment in your life, like marriage. I love you so much that I want to forgive you when you do wrong. I love you so much that I want to be a healing and comforting presence to you when you are sick or old. All the sacraments are just expressions of God saying, I love you. That's encouraging. Which one of us does not need to hear at times, in some way or other, you matter to me. I love you. My life would not be the same without you. You know, I'm glad, I don't mean to be flip about this, I've got to be a little careful because my humor tends toward that. I'm glad God revealed himself as I am who I am. I'm way more grateful that our God keeps showing every day in our lives that he is the one who challenges us and defends us and encourages us. That's the God that we are in relationship with. Finally, this. If that is what God is for us, if that is what Jesus Christ is for us, then very simply, that is what we need to be for each other. In all of our relationships and within the life of our community in the Spirit, we need to challenge each other, we need to defend each other, and we need to encourage each other, modeled precisely on what God does for each one of us.